Welcome to a life-changing encounter with the Word of God, presented to you by Reverend Bright Nkrumah, the senior pastor of the Lycos International Church, Bronx North. He is an anointed pastor and teacher of the Word of God, affecting many lives. Now get ready to be transformed by this anointed message.
So we want to come before the Lord, and for the short time that we have to hear His Word, let us bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, we are grateful and thankful. We thank you for your faithfulness and for your goodness. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for your presence that began with us. Take us through this rest of the service in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Why don't you clap your hands together as you take your seats? At the end, we will take a minute and just say a prayer for our Father. Amen. But I just want to share a simple message with you today. Amen. I'm sharing about Jesus and the woman of Samaria. Jesus and the woman of Samaria. Hallelujah. And we are asking, do you know and recognize Jesus? Do you know and recognize Jesus? Turn with me to John chapter 4. John, the book of John, chapter 4. John chapter 4, and I read. It says, when therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples did, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. He says, now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said unto her, give me a drink, or give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knowest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. The woman said unto him, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come thither to draw. Jesus said unto her, Go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that said thou, Truly. The woman said unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Hallelujah. I perceive that thou art a prophet. Hallelujah. Amen. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is a place where men ought to worship. Jesus said unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. I am he. I am the Messiah. Hallelujah. Amen. This is a wonderful story, and I want you to see how a woman comes to meet the Messiah and does not recognize him. Many people meet with Jesus, but they do not recognize who he is. Many people have an encounter of Jesus, but they do not recognize who he is. And as a result of this, they miss him. Hallelujah. Jesus asked this woman of Samaria whether she recognized who he was. Now, oftentimes, what we see is that the greatness of God, God's magnificent presence is usually in places and situations that we do not look for God in. God's presence is usually in places that human wisdom cannot perceive God's presence to be. Hallelujah. If you were to see a wearied Jesus, tired Jesus, with his dusty feet and dry lips and cracked lips, very thirsty, sitting by a well that he could not draw by himself, that he was waiting for this feeble woman to come by to ask, would you recognize God's presence? Would you identify him with any greatness? Hallelujah. But here is the one who has all the answers to your life. Here is the person who knows everything that is about you. When you come to a place like that and you have an encounter with your Savior, would you recognize him? Hallelujah. Oftentimes, the things of God, they are in very small things. When we are seeking God, and we are seeking Him with the wisdom of man, we cannot find Him. If we are looking for God, and we are looking for Him with the eyes of man, we cannot see Him. We cannot identify certain things with God. In the book of Matthew chapter 13, verse 31, the Bible says, "Another parable put ye forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed." It says the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed. Now, it says, the Bible describes for us who do not know of a mustard seed or have never seen one. It says, it's like a grain of a mustard seed which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds. It is the least of all seeds. Now, when man is even looking for seeds, they don't look for the least of all seeds. Even if it comes to seed that you need or you want, you don't look for the seed which is the least of all seeds. Because our perception of what is good and what is great is always in great things. Our perception of what is mighty is always in a great thing. But it says that the kingdom of God, if you are looking for it, look for it in the least of things. Hallelujah. It says it's the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs. And that is the story of the church that we are in. It was birthed as the least of all seeds. It was bad as a nothing. People thrash it. People wanted it out. It started on a university campus. And many people wanted it closed because it was a disturbance. No one has ever seen a medical student being committed to God before. And so there was doubt about it. No one thought of it as becoming anything great. But that is how the things of God are. He says it's the least of all seeds. Many people, when they are looking for a good man to marry, they are looking for a man who is great. But when you are looking for a husband that God will give you, it may be the least of all men that you will not even acknowledge, you will not recognize. Are you listening? You look at the way the man walks. It is not even your type. The way he eats, as he's eating and opening his mouth, and when he's talking and saliva comes out, he's the least of all men. You say, that is not my type. My type is not here. He's not my kind. He's not such a type. He's not such a man. But when God is giving you something that is going to be great, it is in the least of all things. Is somebody listening to me? She may be the least of all women. Perhaps she doesn't even know how to cook today. Amen. Perhaps her color coordination is very bad. Are you listening? She's not a kind. Even if she puts on her lipstick, it's all over her lip. Is somebody listening? They say women are wearing wigs. Today she has this one, tomorrow she has that one, tomorrow she has this one, and it's not nice. You say, wow. She looks like the least of all women. But when God is bringing you something, sometimes when God is giving you a great gift, it comes in a manger with tattered clothes. It doesn't come in a package that you would expect. So often people come into the presence of God. People come to gift that God is giving and they cannot recognize it. People come to a place where the presence of God is and they cannot recognize it. Because your expectation of if God is in it, it must be great. He says it's the least of all seeds. Hallelujah. There are several people in the Bible who came in contact with God and did not recognize him. Jesus said to the woman of Samaria, he says, and the woman said unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. The woman was communicating with the Messiah, but she could not identify that God will be sitting by a well. She could not identify, she could not embrace the fact that God can be sitting with you. That God can be talking to you. Many times we hear the voice of God and we can't even imagine that this is the voice of God. Many times God visits us in dreams and we can't even see that God is talking to you. Many times you hear clearly. Hallelujah. Many times you sit with someone that says something to you and you turn and you look at the person and it doesn't look like God can be talking to you. Is somebody listening to me? Pontius Pilate was with Jesus, but it was his wife who recognized him in a dream. Matthew 27 and verse 19. Pontius Pilate was talking to Jesus. He has heard of all his miracles. And he asked him, he says, are you the king of the Jews? And he says, you are saying it. You are saying it. Jesus was giving him a clue. He says, are you the king of the Jews? He said, you are saying it. And he still could not recognize him. You are saying what I am. And he still could not recognize him. And his wife had a dream. And it came, he says, when he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, Have thou nothing to do with that just man? That means do not have anything to do with that just man. For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. He still could not recognize him. He still could not recognize him. Do you think if he recognized him as the Messiah, he would have handed him over to the crowd? No, he did not recognize him. There were two thieves in Luke 23, verse 39. Two thieves hung on a cross. There were two of them. But only one recognized him. He said, and one of the malefactors, Luke 23, 39, and one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him with anger, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and save us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? You see, that is why sometimes you can be with your friend. You do the same thing. You work at the same place. You're having the same conversation all the time. You are talking to one another. And it will be like that. That one will know Christ and the other will not. And I want to tell you that you have a responsibility as an individual to find a Messiah for yourself. Not through a friend. Not through conversation with a friend. Not doing what a friend is doing. That the friend says, we are doing this and you are doing it. The friend stops and you also stop. You and the Messiah alone. There were two thieves. There were two thieves. He says they were malefactors. And he said that, are we not in the same condemnation? There will be two friends in the same situation. Two thieves in the same condemnation. But one was able to recognize the Messiah. One was able to identify that this is the Son of God. And that moment, that person, that thief was saved. Beloved, would you recognize Jesus when he comes into your life? Would you recognize Jesus? He says, and we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. This man had done nothing amiss. And verse 42, he says, and he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. This is a sinner ready to die. He says, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And that moment, and verse 43, and Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. End of story. And they both died. Ladies and gentlemen, would you recognize Jesus when he comes into your life? There were two men who were walking when Jesus died, when they were walking from the road from Emmaus. Do you remember those two? The Bible says these two men were walking and talking, and Jesus joined them, and they could not recognize him. They could not recognize him. And I want you to think about that very carefully. Do you know what they were talking about? Let's look at that story. Luke 24 and verse 13. Luke 24 and verse 13. They said, and behold, two of them went the same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem, about 70 furlongs. And the next verse, and they talked together of all these things which had happened. I want you to listen very carefully. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near. Jesus himself drew near and went with them. This is after he resurrected and went with them. But their eyes were holding that they should not know him. Jesus was with them. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are so sad? What are you talking about? As they were talking, of course, they are talking about the current events. And as they were walking back home with all kinds of disappointment and talking about what has happened to their Messiah, he joined them and he says, what are you talking about and why are you so sad? And the one of them whose name was Cleopas, you know, it's not everyone whose name is mentioned in the Bible. But are you a Cleopas in the church? Are you a Cleopas in the church? He says, and one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, are thou the only stranger in Jerusalem? Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? Look at that. And has not known the things which has come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty indeed and word before God and all the people. I want you to listen. This is their words. They have been with this Messiah. They have been with Jesus. They knew his works. He says, Jesus, stay there, please, for a moment. He says, have you not heard? He says, and they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed, and word. The head is word. before God. They saw his mighty works. He says he was mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. The next verse. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. They saw all of that. But we trusted that it had been he who should have redeemed Israel. That is what we were expecting. And besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company. Listen, I hope you are reading with me. Certain women also of our company. Certain women who also were with us. They are not strangers. Cleopas and his friends, they are part of the company. They are part of the congregation. They are part of the crowd. They are part of the people who followed Jesus. They are part of the people who heard his words. But he says, there were also certain women in our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. They went there very early. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. You see, when you don't know the scriptures for yourself, when you don't know what the scriptures says about your Messiah, how he will be, what he will become, and who he is, and how he will die, and how he will be resurrected. When you don't know this, you will never recognize him when he's in your life. So he said, and they also said they have seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. The next verse. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it. He said, certain of them which were with us. That means that when they gathered and they were afraid and the woman came, they were there also. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it, even so as the woman had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, oh fools and slow of heart, to believe, listen, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Do we know? Ladies and gentlemen, there are people who are sitting here today. They are Cleopas and others. They have heard the word. They hear the word. They know the mighty works, but they don't know Jesus. He's with you, but you don't know him. There are many Christians, so-called, born again. They say they believe, but they don't know Jesus. He was with them. The women, when Jesus revealed himself to others, they recognize him. Those who know him, they recognize him. There are people who are in the crowd. They hear about him. They hear about his works, but they do not know him. It's dangerous. It's serious. Amen. He said they do not know him. So these people, they were with him. They followed him. They heard him. They saw the mighty works. But he came so close to them, but they could not recognize him. Hallelujah. Peter recognized Jesus in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 13. There were other disciples. Matthew 16 and verse 13. There were other disciples. And Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi. He asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am I? Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, I am? Whom do men say? What do they say? What do they say? And then they said, some say. You see, that's how we talk. Isn't that what we say? Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom do you say that I am? Whom do you say? You, personally. You see, I tell you, we may come as groups, we may come as friends, we may come as colleagues, we may come as knowing ourselves from high school, we may come as cousins, and we may come together. But in the end, it is whom do you say that the Son of Man I am? Whom do you say that I am? Are you listening? He says, yes, I hear all the things that people say, but whom do you say that I am? And one person says, and Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen. Amen. You see, but if you are walking with Jesus, and you see every now and then he says, I want to give me some moment, and then he goes by a tree and he urinates. And then he says he's thirsty, he's hungry. And you see him walking like that, you will not see that this is the Son of God. You cannot identify. Hallelujah. Would you recognize him when you have an encounter with him? Would you see him when he comes into your life? Because the things of God, they don't come in the form that you would expect. The words of God, the salvation message, they do not come in a form that you can embrace. You may be too intelligent for that. You may be too wise for that. You may be too educated for that. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 21, let us read this last scripture and then bring the service to a close. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 1, it says, for after that, do you have the NLT? Perhaps we can read that straightforward and we bring the service to a close. The NLT, 1 Corinthians 1:21, New Living Translation, says, since God, are you reading with me? Yes. Since God, in his wisdom, saw to it that the world will never know him through human wisdom. The world will never know him through human wisdom. Through your education, God is nothing. For what you have learned, for the science that you know, for the psychology that you have studied, God is nothing. He says, since God in his wisdom saw to it that the world would never know him through human wisdom, he has used our foolish preaching to save those who believe. The preaching may sound so foolish, but it is to them that believe. We will not come with any complicated psychological words and wisdom. We are not preaching anything from your psychology books. Are you listening? So it may sound foolish to you. So he says, the next verse. Let's flow. It says, it is foolish. This is the preaching of the word of God. It is foolish to the Jews who ask for signs from heaven. And it is foolish to the Greeks who seek human wisdom. Human wisdom. You see, I'm sharing this with you, brothers and sisters, that you come to understand that the word of God will never come to you in any other form to suit your wisdom and to suit your acceptance of the word, to reason with it, to make it now reasonable enough for you to believe. Are you listening? Because your education has eradicated God from your life. Your knowledge of world wisdom has eradicated God from your life. but it's not going to change the word of God. It's never going to come in another form that you will embrace. It's never going to come in another form that you say, that is reasonable. I can reason with this. He says that it is foolish to the Jews who seek for signs from heaven. God is not going to open up heavens to show you signs so you can believe. And it is foolish to the Greeks who seek human wisdom to reason with it, that salvation makes sense. It will never make sense according to your wisdom. It will never make sense. And God never intends to change it. So he says, next verse, but to those called by God to salvation, both Jews and Gentiles, you and I alike, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. And it will always remain so. The power of God will be Christ. The wisdom of God will be Christ. You will either accept it or not, embrace it or not. It will never change to any other thing except that Christ will be the wisdom of God and the power of God. It will not change to anything. Jaden and Jaden, you may become mechanical engineers, electrical engineers, you may become neuroscientists, you may become whatever. It is still the power of God in Christ and the wisdom of God in Christ. It will not change. No matter what school you go to, no matter how educated you become, Jason, it will never change for you. Is somebody understanding what I'm sharing with you? So if you are waiting to go to school and now not value the preaching anymore, it is not going to change for you. It is always going to remain. Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Nothing else. Nothing else. Nothing else. It will not change. I said it will not change. It says, but to those who are called by God to salvation, if you are going to be saved, whether you are a Jew or you are a Greek, whether you are a Gentile, and you and I are all Gentiles, all non-Jews are Gentiles, he says it will always be that Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. And the next verse, it says, this foolish plan of God, Christian, are you listening to me? Andrew, are you listening? He said, this foolish plan of God is wiser than the wisest of human plans. We are talking about the creator of the heavens and the earth. We are talking about the creator of a kidney. How kidney works. We are talking about the creator who creates a machine that beats 85 years. Non-stop, not needing any maintenance, to halt it so you can maintain it, to stop it so you can change the oil. We are talking about that creator. We are talking about that creator who can create a machine that can never be stopped. He says, this foolish plan of this creator is wiser than the wisest of human plans. And God's weakness is stronger than the greatest of human strength. He says, remember, dear brothers and sisters, and I want you to remember this, that few of you were wise in the world's eyes, or powerful, or wealthy, when God called you. When God calls a person, he's not that powerful. He doesn't look powerful. I'm talking about the things of God. Jesus says the kingdom of God is like the size of a mustard seed. When God calls a person, it's this least. He says, instead, God chose things the world considers foolish in order to shame those who think they are wise. And he chose things that are powerless to shame those who are powerful. God chose things despised by the world. Things counted as nothing at all, and use them to bring to nothing what the world considers important. Why? As a result, no one can ever boast in the presence of God. Put your hands together for the Lord. No one can ever boast in the presence of God. No one can ever boast. That is why God is. That is why, if you have anything to boast of, boast in this, that you know God. If you have anything to be proud of, don't be proud of your works. Don't be proud of your education. Don't be proud of your career. If you have anything to boast of, boast in this, that you know God. Hallelujah. God, when it comes to you, he comes to you knocking gently. He says he comes and he knocks. If you will hear, he's not pushing you. He's not forcing you. He comes and he knocks. If you will hear and you open, he will come in and he will sup with you. As foolish as that sounds, that is the power of God. As foolish as that sounds, that is the wisdom of God. Hallelujah. This afternoon, God is knocking at certain doors. God is knocking at certain doors. If you hear, he says, no other way but the foolishness of preaching. That is how he will come to you. Put your hands together and rise to your feet. Let us bring the service to a close. Father, we are grateful. We are thankful. Holy Spirit, we thank you for leading us and guiding us through your word. In Jesus' name. Amen. With all eyes closed and every head bowed, I want to give everyone that is here an opportunity. You are here. Jesus is knocking. The same way he knocked on my door is the same way he's knocking on your door right now. He says, if anyone will hear and open, he will come in and he will come and sup with you. If you are here this afternoon, you are not born again. Jesus is standing at the door, your door, the door to your heart, and he's knocking the same way. Are you going to open to him? If you will open the door, he will come in. He's ready, ever ready to come in to sup with you. Hallelujah. So if you are here this afternoon, you want to give your life to Christ, you are saying, Lord, I've heard a knock and I open unto you. I want to receive you. This foolishness of preaching, it's not going to come any other way for you. If you want to give your life to Christ this afternoon, wherever you are, just lift up your right hand and I'll pray with you. You want to receive Jesus as your Savior, as your Master. You want to welcome him into your life. Perhaps you come to church all the time. You come with friends. You come with family. But you know that you don't know Jesus personally. You don't know the power of God. You don't know the wisdom of God. You don't know this Christ. You don't know the Son of God. But you are saying, Pastor, pray with me. I want to receive Jesus as my Lord and as my Savior. If that is your prayer, lift up your hand and I'll pray with you. Is there anyone here like that? Jesus is knocking. He's knocking the same way. He's not going to change it. No special knock. You're not going to hear any sign. You're not going to feel anything. No sign from heaven. The same way. Are you prepared to open the door? If you are, lift up your hand and I'll pray with you. Oh yes, lift up your hand and I'll pray with you. Is there anyone here right now? Be going, one. Is there anyone here right now? Two. Anyone you want to receive Jesus? Three. Why don't you all say this prayer with me? Put your hand on your heart and say this prayer with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I acknowledge you as the Son of God. I believe you died for my sins. I believe you rose again on the third day. Please forgive me of my sins. Please wash me with your blood. I welcome you into my heart. I open the door to you. Come into me and be my Lord, be my Master, and be my Savior. Please write my name in the book of life. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me today. In Jesus' name, Amen.
We believe you have been blessed by this powerful message. Come worship with us at the Lycos International Church, 1810 Randall Avenue, Bronx, New York, at 2 p.m. every Sunday. God bless you.